Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19. I'm going to read on chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up to onto a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word, and Lord, for the opportunity that you give us in this country to preach thy word freely. We pray, my Father, that you would touch hearts. Those that are not saved, I pray, Lord, that you prick their hearts, that they would not rest, that they would call upon thee. And we pray, Lord, that you would use your word for your honor and glory, and that you receive all the honor, my Lord, because only you are worthy. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, this is a story that many people never use when they go and talk to somebody about Jesus. It's not like going through the Roman road or through the Gospel of John to show somebody salvation. This is a story that most Christians, those who read the Bible, only know it as, I know about Zacchaeus. He was a short guy. He ran up on a tree. He was a publican. He was chief of publicans. He was a rich guy. But that's about all. We never quote from these passages. We don't try to lead anybody to Christ through the story of Zacchaeus. Nevertheless, everything that is written for our own learning and admonition. Everything that's in the scriptures was written by God. It was given by Him. It was given to holy men of God. And they spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's also given to us for instructions, for correction, and to for many other things. We use God's word. And this morning, the Lord has led me to preach from this story. The story of Zacchaeus. And there's much to learn about this story. And I pray that it will just touch your heart. Maybe you might use it later on in life, because that's why the Lord gave it to us. He didn't write it just to fill the space. He wrote it so that we could learn something. And the first thing that I want to expound this morning is, who was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is not just a short Jew that was rich, that climbed on a tree. But when I look at Zacchaeus, you know how I look at him? I look at me. He is Trinidad. When I read the scriptures, that's how I look at it. This is the only way it's going to really apply to you when you begin to see yourself in the scriptures. God gives us so many different people in the Bible. And when you look at him very carefully, he's talking to you. He's talking about you. When I see Zacchaeus, I'm looking at myself, because He's a lot like me. Just like when I read the story of the prodigal son, that prodigal son was me. I'm the one that took off and spent everything that I could. I'm the one that was living in the pig pens. I am that guy that was terrorizing the people in the tombs of the Gadarenes. I'm that demented person that made everybody's life miserable. I am that thief on the cross that told the other one, hey, we're receiving what we deserve to get. I'm the one that called upon the Lord and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I am that publican that Jesus spoke about, that when he was praying, he says, God, forgive me a sinner. You see, when we apply it that way, then God will speak to your heart. So when I see Zacchaeus on that tree, I'm seeing Trinidad. That's me. And of course, it's also you. This guy would fit perfectly in today's society. He would be a very good American. You see, one of the things that you learn about him is that he was rich. Who in here isn't rich? Let me tell you, we are a very rich people. We are a rich country. Nobody's trying to flee America to go and live in Pakistan. We're not trying to cross the border into Mexico. Everybody's coming over here because they see the opportunity. They see we are rich. And even the poorest here in San Antonio, we're richer than anybody else. That is the one war that we are really winning, is the war on poverty. You can tell by the statistics. We're the second fattest city in the nation. The people, the thing is that even if you can't afford something and you're not making too much money, you can always go and apply for food stamps. I know that people get as much as $1,200 a month so that they can support their family. Many people get help, and that's why everybody's trying to get here. So Zacchaeus would make a very good American. We are a rich country. And the world recognizes that we're a rich country. And so he would fit in real good. This guy was a chief. And how many of us are chiefs? We're all bosses and we own companies and we're in charge of so many things in our lives. We're just like Zacchaeus. A matter of fact, if he would come here and he would be here right now, we'd probably elect him for Congress. That they like to spend our money. They like to take taxes. They like to spend somebody else's money. That's what this guy was. He was a chief of all the tax collectors. This guy would also fit real well with the Laodicean church. Those that said we are rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. So you see, this guy is a typical American, and that's why God wrote it that way, so that you would see yourself in Zacchaeus, because we all are very much like him. But you know, the next thing I want you to see is that he sought to see Jesus who he was. That's why he ran. He wanted to see what he looked like. He wanted to see with his own eyes. He's just like a lot of us. We know about Jesus, but we don't know him as Lord and Savior. You see, this guy, there's no doubt in my mind, he knew a lot about Jesus. All the publicans knew him. He's in charge of all the publicans. I'm sure they told him, hey, Levi, now known as Matthew, he used to work for him. He's the one that fled when Jesus was passing by, and he told him, Matthew, go ahead and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was Zacchaeus that had to probably come in and replace him. The witnesses probably told him, yeah, that's where Matthew was sitting. And he fled the scene. It was Zacchaeus that was in charge. He's the one that had to put a replacement. He probably heard other people telling him, yeah, this Jesus, he passed by and he told him, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. The Bible also says that many people would say that Jesus was a friend of publicans. Just like here, immediately the murmuring, the complaining, the people always talking. Yeah, he's out. He's going to be a guest of a sinner, of a publican. So you see, everybody knew him. And they had heard of Jesus and that he was a friend of publicans. But you know what I see also is that he probably also heard the story that Jesus had just spoken just in the same or the previous chapter where he talked about a publican and a Pharisee that went out to pray. Somebody probably told him the story. You know what Jesus said? That publican, the one that everybody hates, he went home justified. Amen. He heard the story. And there's no doubt in my mind, he also heard the story that had happened right before that about the rich young ruler because Zacchaeus was rich. I guarantee you he paid attention to that. And he understood and realized, you know what? The rich young ruler went home very sad. Jesus told him, sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and follow me. I'm sure Zacchaeus didn't want to give everything. He was curious. Just like most Americans, we're all curious. We all want to know what things about Jesus. But the thing is, my friend, you need to know Jesus on a personal basis. Just knowing him from your mind, just have that mental assent, just have that knowledge in your head, is not sufficient. That knowledge has to trickle down to your heart. Otherwise, you'll never get saved. And so many people, they know about Jesus, they've heard about him all their lives, but he has never trickled down to their heart. They have some kind of spiritual blockage. Just like when they tested my heart, they found out that I had four veins that were not pumping blood into the heart. One of them was 100% blocked. Another one was 98. Another one was 88. The other one was 76. And they had to do a bypass. There's a lot of people here in America, and maybe even in this church, that have heard of Jesus, but they have a spiritual blockage. And it doesn't go from your head to your heart. That's why Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And this is Zacchaeus. He wanted to know who is this Jesus. But the thing is that most people have heard of him. I had heard of him even when I was in a false religion. I didn't get saved till I was 36 years old. Let me tell you, I knew a lot about Jesus since I was a little kid. I knew that he was God. I knew that he had gone to Calvary, that he had died on the cross, and that he had paid for all our sins. I knew that salvation was given to people that would trust in him, but I never did. You see, I had a head knowledge just like most people, but I had never really trusted in the Lord. I only knew him through history. I knew him because they had told me. I was just like Zacchaeus. I wanted to see who is he. But I would never accept him as my Lord and Savior. And it's so important. That's why Jesus was talking in the book of Matthew chapter 7. And he's saying in that day, talking about the judgment, because Jesus is going to be the judge and he will be the prosecutor. You're not going to have no defense attorney. He says, in that day, many people will say unto me, but Lord, we did wonderful things in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And we did many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus says, and I will profess to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. There's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth, my friend. The thing is that you can't just stay like Zacchaeus was at the beginning of this story, where you just hang up on the tree. There's no sense in you remaining being just a very curious person. God's not going to save no curious George. You need to come down from that tree. You need to accept him as Lord and Savior. Head knowledge is not sufficient. It has to be from the heart. And what we see here is Zacchaeus also had obstacles. We all have obstacles in this life. He had an obstacle with the crowd. But you notice what he did? When you want to accomplish something, you'll do everything you can. The guy was short. There was a big crowd. He couldn't see. No big deal. He ran in front. He climbed the tree. We all can do it. And if God would tell you, look, to get to heaven, you're going to have to run the 100-yard dash in 11 seconds flat, we'd all be out there practicing right now. We'd all be trying to lose weight. The thing is that you can overcome many obstacles just like he did. But the thing is that many of us, we've had problems, and many times it's still that crowd. Sometimes that crowd is the crowd at home. I know a lot of people that when they accept Jesus, or they want to accept him as Lord and Savior, you got the crowd at home like mom and dad that will tell you, if you go to that church and you accept their Jesus and you forsake our church that we have taught you all our lives, we don't want nothing to do with you. For some people, it means their life. Some people get killed. You see it all the time on the news. Sometimes they get run over by a car, like this young lady got run over by her dad. Sometimes they'll send somebody to go kill their own son because he accepted the Western way. He accepted Jesus. I've heard of a doctor here in San Antonio who left his country where he was from. And when he told them that he had accepted Jesus and he was coming back over here to the United States, they came in and they shot him in the head, but he survived. He came over here to San Antonio and he was a medical doctor here, but he had been shot in the head. For a lot of people to say, I've accepted Jesus, it means a death sentence. For us here in America, you don't have that problem, not right now. The thing is, for a lot of people, they have that crowd to overcome. Sometimes they say, well, I can't go to church because I have a crowd. I've got a lot of kids with me. I can't take them to church. They're not disciplined. I can't do anything, but I'll guarantee you, if we told them, well, we'll be offering you $100 if you make it over here, they would find a way. See, just like Zacchaeus, he wanted to see, who is this Jesus? The one that I have heard so much, the one that is a friend of publicans, I want to see him face to face when he comes through. He was just curious. He had no clue. He wasn't seeking for God. But God was seeking for him. Just like me when I got saved, I was not seeking for the Lord. Somebody came and gave me gospel tracts. I was miserable. I had problems, but I was not looking for the Lord. He looked for me. He sent somebody to come and give me gospel tracts, and I began to read them, and then it convicted me. You see, he called me by his word. Amen. That's what Jesus does. He calls you by his word. The thing is that many times our crowd that tries to block us, just like they were blocking Zacchaeus, sometimes it's your own family. I witnessed to somebody in my wife's family, and I told him about Jesus, how he could get saved. I wanted him to get saved. I wanted him to go to heaven. And he responded, you know what? If it's true what you're telling me, and I was backing everything up with the Bible, he said, if that is true, then all my ancestors are in hell. And my grandparents are in hell. And mom and dad and everybody. And if they're all in hell, then I guess that's where I'll go. Let me tell you something. Nobody is worth you going to hell for. Amen. Nobody will be responsible for you. Nobody's going to come and defend you. Your grandma, grandpa is not going to be standing there with you when you're in front of God. There won't be no advocates. You're not going to have no defense attorney. You're going to be before the Lord and you will have to answer. And when they don't see your name written in the book of life, you get casted into the lake of fire. That's why it's so important. This is why it was necessary for Zacchaeus to come down. You can't stay on the tree forever, my friend. The thing is that sometimes we need problems in our lives for anybody to see things straight. We had one lady here was brought in one time by, well, it was her husband. They were married at the time. And I wind up bringing a message, and because I said that the San Antonio water system, in other words, baptism, doesn't save you. San Antonio water system doesn't save you. And she got offended. But I've said it many, many times before in the street preaching or when I'm witnessing to somebody, but she decided she was going to use that. No, I'm offended. She didn't like it. Well, now they're divorced. And their son got very sick the other day. Their son wound up in the hospital. And our brother, he would go there and stay there with his son. And then his wife would come and he would leave. And many people from the church would go out there and visit. And they would pray for his son because they had found something very terrible in his lung. And the doctor was saying, we might just have to operate. This is getting very serious. And then many people from his job that were Christians went to go visit when she was there. And they prayed for her son. All of a sudden, the doctor tells her, he said, look, we took a picture, and that spot that he had on his lung is gone. We don't know what happened, but it's gone. And of course, now she's saying, you know what? I need to talk to somebody who knows the Bible. I've got a lot of questions. And you know, the thing is that many times, that's how we are. We wait until something drastic happens in our life before we'll actually believe. Jesus Christ is alive and He does save, even though you're not looking for Him. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 65 verse 1, He says, I am found of them that sought me not. We weren't looking for God. He's the one that came seeking that which was lost, and that's what He says here. We don't seek after God. He seeks after us. He's the one that calls us. But then it's up to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay on the tree or are you going to come down and receive Him? Amen. Most people, they just want to stay on the tree. They want to be the curious ones. They want to think that they're the intelligent ones, that they know everything. And you won't come down from your high horse. You won't come down from your pride. You don't want to accept Him because it might upset somebody. But let me tell you, Zacchaeus was told by God, Zacchaeus, make haste. You know what that tells me? It's an urgent call. Most people think that they have a lot of time in this life, that you can just go through life and do all kinds of things, and then at your convenience, when you're ready, then you will call upon the Lord after you've already finished doing all your work and all the bad things and the wickedness, and live your life how you want to live, and that God will just wait for you until you're actually ready. But God says different. He says today is the day of salvation. Your life is very short. The Bible says that our life is short and full of troubles. You're going to have problems. People die of all ages. During the summer, I went to my hometown in Beeville. I go over there once every so many years, maybe every 5-6 years, I like to go and see who's still alive, who still knows me. And I've gone through my neighborhood and I've gone door knocking to talk to them about Jesus. Actually, I'm trying also to find out who's still alive, who has died and who's still there. And I wind up going to the house where I was born and raised. I knew a cousin of mine was living there. She bought the house. She was 70 years old. I hadn't seen her in maybe 25, 30 years. But she was there, and I talked to her for about 2 hours. I explained to her about salvation the whole time. I gave her story after story after story, verse after verse after verse. She had never heard it. She was amazed. Later on, a few months later, her mama called me, and she told me she died. And when I began to figure out when she died a few days after I left. I didn't know. She did not know it was her last time. The thing is, we don't know. If I had known, I would have told her, look, you need to accept Jesus because you're about to be hit with some virus and you're going to die. But we don't have that privilege. We don't know. But God tells you, make haste, Zacchaeus. You need to come down. This is very important. You need to hear what I've got to tell you. Listen, right here in this same chapter, in chapter 19, I'm going to read to you something that Jesus said. He went on and things happened. People are getting saved, being healed. He's on his way to Jerusalem to go die. This is in the last few days. He's passing through Jericho, that cursed city. He's on the way to Jerusalem, and when he gets to Jerusalem, he looks at it and he cries. The Bible says he wept over Jerusalem. Now let me tell you, after he wept, this is God Almighty in the flesh who came to this world. He's seeking whom he may save. He's preaching the gospel in every city. And now he's crying. But let me read to you right where he leaves off on verse 42. Chapter 19, verse 42. Saying, if thou hast known, he's talking to Jerusalem. Amen. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Let me stop there right now. If people only knew all the blessings that God would bestow on you, I wish I had gotten saved a lot earlier, but I didn't. I was 36 years old. I was rebellious. I was running. I could have been blessed in so many ways. But the thing is, I'm thankful that I did turn to the Lord. I did get saved. He changed my life. But what he's saying here, these people, if they had only known. You see, in another place, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you, and you would not. It is God's wish. It is his desire that you get saved. He's not willing that any should perish. That's why he says, I would have, but you would not. And here he just finished saying, he says, if you had known the things which belong unto thy peace. But look at these very sad words. And now they are hid from thine eyes. And so many people, they keep letting Jesus go by. You don't want to repent. Even though you hear it, you've been told as a child, you keep ignoring and ignoring because you're too happy with your sin. Haven't you heard the man who had everything at his hand, Moses? He says that he forsook sin because it was only for a season. It don't last too long, my friend. I was 20 years old yesterday. I'm 65. I don't know where the years went. Even though I still feel like I'm real strong, I'm old. But look what he says on in verse 43. He says, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground. In other words, you're going to be killed. And thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This is so important. He's talking to them, you're going to be attacked. Titus is coming in a few years. He's going to come in and he's going to lay siege. He's going to lay this city flat. He's going to knock out and kill so many people. That's why he was crying. And he's telling them, you missed your chance. The day of your visitation. Now, I don't think we're at that point right now where they were. But we're at the point of the sycamore tree. We're at that point where so many people are still on the tree. They're looking down, and God's looking at you and say, hey, come down. Get off your high horse. Why don't you cast that stupid pride away? Why don't you accept Him as Lord and Savior? You see, He's trying to reach them, and the people just continue in their way. He was crying for them. Because many times, my friend, God's not going to call you all the time. He called me when I was 16 years old. And I was really touched. But it wasn't until 20 years later, at the age of 36, when somebody came again witnessing to me. 20 years had gone by. And then they began to give me gospel tracts. And I know that if I had skipped that one, if I had stayed on my little stupid tree, I would not have got, maybe I would have never gotten saved. I might have already been dead and gone and suffering in hell. And I would have been saying, why did I let it go? What a sad testimony. But you know, the thing is, Jesus is crying, and He said, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. God came visiting. And then when the problems come, when destruction hits, then that's when people say, okay, God, why did you allow all these things? How come you allowed 9/11? How come you allowed the tsunami? How come you allowed my daughter to die, my wife to be taken away? So many, immediately the condemnation, the pointing of the finger to God. God, why did you do it? And He tells you over and over, in this life, you shall have tribulations. He says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. Amen. And you need to also realize that you're going to have problems. The reason we have problems is not because God wants you to have problems. The king or the prince of this world is Satan. The guy is evil. This world is evil. And we're going to have problems. But the thing is, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my friend, there's a lot of peace that belongs to you. The Bible says that He'll give you that peace that passes all understanding. That's why when He was on His way to Calvary's cross, when He's carrying His cross, Jesus was not crying for Himself. The ladies were crying. Everybody was crying. And that's why He says, daughters of Jerusalem, cry not for me. Cry for yourselves and cry for your children. And God still tells you that today. Don't cry for Him. He's in heaven. He already went to the cross. He already endured your pain. He already took your sin. Now what you need to do is repent and accept Him as Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, my friend, that many times we have problems trying to figure out, did Zacchaeus actually get saved? Well, I believe he did. Amen. There's a lot of evidence that he did. We can't see into his heart. Only God can, so He's the only one that can offer you direct evidence because He's the one that said that salvation has come to this house. Notice also that it wasn't just for Zacchaeus, but it was for his house. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's why Paul told the Philippian jailer, he says that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. When you get saved, my friend, if you're the father, chances are your whole family is going to follow you. Maybe not your extended family, but the people in your house, your wife, the children, they'll come after you. But every one of us, we all have to make our own decision. God's not going to save the whole house just because somebody got saved. We all have to make our own decisions. We all have to call upon the Lord. We all have to humble ourselves. And then He'll save you. But the first indication was that there was joy. You know, that's a good sign when somebody receives the word with joy.
Zacchaeus received him with joy. He was very joyful. Although that doesn't save anybody, the Bible also talks about many people receive the word with joy and then they forsake everything. So just because you received the word with joy is not going to save you. That's only part of the circumstantial evidence that the guy was joyful, but also that he was obedient. When he said that the half of his goods he will give, and if, that was a big if I have defrauded anybody, then I will pay him fourfold. He's talking about the law. If I have done something wicked, if I have deceived somebody, I'll pay him fourfold. The thing is, there is an if. And Zacchaeus did not quit his job. He didn't give everything just to get saved. You get saved by God's grace. It's not something that you have to pay or that you have to give. So don't get mistaken on this. He got saved by grace. He understood, he received Jesus as his Lord. And that's why the Lord told him, today, salvation is coming to thy house. He showed repentance. In other words, Lord, my attitude is changed. I might have thought differently, but now I realize I need to walk a straight line. I can't be deceiving people. I can't be overcharging. I can't be doing these things. It needs to be done fair and square. We all have to pay taxes. He had to collect. He's going to continue doing. But what he's talking about is that you can see the fruits of repentance. That's why John the Baptist, when he came preaching and all those people were listening, and the Pharisees came, he says, oh, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring fruits meet for repentance. You see, if you think I'm rude, you haven't heard the way John the Baptist preached. John the Baptist was rude. But let me tell you, forgive me if I am rude or maybe loud or whatever. The thing is, I just want you to believe what God has to say. Even the Lord Jesus, he told the religious crowd, he said, oh, you generation of vipers. And we have to just come down to that point, excuse me, to understand. But what we see also, another sign, another part of the circumstantial evidence, was when he said, behold, Lord. What a tremendous word. You see, just like that thief on the cross, he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You have to accept him as Lord. Not just as some distant God. Not just some, one of the gods. He's not one of the ways. He's the only way. And the only way you get saved is when you accept him as Lord and Savior. That's why he says, behold, Lord. And this is how, what the Bible tells you. Paul tells you that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that maybe? All you have to do is confess him as Lord and Savior, and he will save you. Jesus Christ is God. He came, he went to the cross, he died for you, he was buried, on the third day he rose again. And now he offers you salvation by grace. He offers you salvation as a gift. And the thing is, I want you to remember the urgency that Jesus put on the message. He told Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste. In other words, you don't have time to wait. My friend, the Lord could come even this day. Even before, by the time we even get out the door. You know, you never know. He says, I'm coming when nobody expects. I'm coming as a thief in the night. He's going to come and snatch his church. If we knew when the thief would come, we'd be ready. I'd have my AR-15 waiting for that person. But the thing is, we don't know. And that's what the Lord is telling us, that He comes as a thief in the night. You never suspect. Every time I've been hit, I didn't know. I got caught by surprise. Everybody who gets burglarized, they get caught by surprise. That's how Jesus is coming. Don't you get caught by surprise. You don't have time to wait because you don't know when He comes. The thing to do is to obey Christ. When He says make haste, that means you need to get saved today. You need to repent. You've done enough sowing of your wild oats. You've been so far, you're still alive, you're still kicking. That don't mean you'll be here tomorrow. There's many people that have done all kinds of crazy things. And next thing you know, they die of a heart attack real quickly. I had an uncle that went to Vietnam 3 times. And he had been in infantry. He had been at the camps where, of course, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't out in the fields because he was a first sergeant. He stayed behind. Nevertheless, he went 3 times. And he came. He felt real good. He retired. He went out and played baseball and came home and died of a heart attack. So many people have done that. They've gone through danger, and you've made it, and you feel secured. The Lord says, hey, make haste. You don't know when your time comes up. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, your time is always ready. So we need to make sure that we're saved. And all you have to do, the Lord doesn't require you to go and sell your goods. He doesn't require you to go out and give everything you got. But what He does require is for you to give your whole heart. Not just part of it. Not just lip service. Yeah, I know. I've got head knowledge. He wants your heart. And you come to Him with a broken spirit. A contrite heart. He says, I will not reject. I won't turn it down. He'll give you eternal life. Why don't you do it this morning, even while you're sitting? Right there on the spot. God is here. He can hear you. He knows your needs. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. God did not ask for a resume of Zacchaeus to see what he had done. He knows you. There's no more time for you to hang around on the tree. You need to come down and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We're going to stand up. We're going to sing 249. The altar will be open. You want to come and pray and ask for forgiveness? It's up to you. Whatever you want to do, the altar is open. 249.